Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Wine, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery.
Labels themselves, they become an art form.
We encourage listeners, wine enthusiasts, and winemakers to call the show and discuss topics related to wine.
This is Stuart Scott from Camas Prairie Winery.
Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available.
Always informative and entertaining.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
It's all about wine.
So, Alabama.
And now, from Florida Estates Winery, Ron.
Mike's not with us tonight. All you have is me. My name is Ron. I'm, like it just announced there, the winemaker of Florida Estates Winery and vineyardist and a whole bunch of other hats and titles and everything. Basically just love wine. So Mike's not with me. Mike's usually on the other microphone and takes care of a lot of the stuff on that end of it and looks up stuff while I'm talking and doing all sorts of good stuff for me. And he also watches the switchboard and does a whole bunch of good stuff that I don't have to worry about. But without him here tonight, I'm going to try to handle it all myself. Mike is actually, I think he's in his car heading home right now. He had to work late, and so he's not going to be available. But he might be able to pop in toward the end of the program if he does. And if you're listening, Mike, we'll hopefully talk to you later at the end. Talking about Kansas tonight, before I go into Kansas, though, a couple of things I want to cover. One, I want to make a comment on the flooding in Australia, not because I have any relatives or anything, but I do have some people in Australia that I know who run a vineyard down there, and they have had a lot of flooding. It's flooded their house, it's flooded the vineyards, it's flooded stuff, and I just want to tell them that the thoughts are with them, and anybody out there who is not aware of it, which I think most of the world is, Australia, especially Queensland, which is in the northeastern part of the country, the state of Queensland, and Brisbane is the third largest city in that part, or in Australia, and the largest in Queensland, it has had some serious floods, very serious floods. Areas the size of Texas have been underwater, so. And this has included a lot of vineyards and a lot of wineries and stuff like that. So just want to point out, thoughts are with you over there in Australia. Hang in there and hope everything will work out for you and that you can recover. Grapevines, hopefully, if it doesn't rip up the roots or do anything like that, might be able to recover from this. Who knows? I lost my vineyard to water 6 years ago. Hurricanes went through, drowned all of my grapevines. But they were very young at the time, and when young plants are underwater, they can't breathe, and so they die. I'm sure older plants probably lot the same way, but let's hope that the water didn't stay on too long and that they can make it out. If you're listening to the program tonight and you want to call in, again, the call-in number, 1-646-727-3235. I will be checking back on the switchboard here as much as I can to try to get in touch with you. If I miss you or something, don't give up on me. Like I say, I'm trying to run the thing myself tonight, and I don't have Mike as a backup here like I usually do. And so it's I'm going solo tonight, seeing what happens. Kansas. We're talking about Kansas wineries. We talked about Iowa last week. Kansas is the next one in the alphabet, next state alphabetically. We are going through all the states alphabetically. And we got Kansas this week. Kentucky will be next week. I'll tell you that right off the top. That's the next K on the list, the only other K on the list for the United States. So we'll be talking about Kentucky next week. But Kansas tonight. Kansas. Kansas is located, and let me let you know where it is. Kansas is located pretty much right smack dab in the middle of the United States. If you were to do a geographic pinpoint of the exact center of the country where, you know, landmass, not population, but landmass, the exact center of the country, it lands in Kansas. That's the little eastern part of Kansas, I believe, is where the exact center of the country is, north, south, east, west. Kansas is, therefore, right in the middle of the country. It's a triangle-shaped state, almost a perfect triangle, except for the northeastern corner where the Missouri River is the border between Kansas and Missouri. Missouri is to the east, Oklahoma to the south, Colorado to the west, and Nebraska to the north. So it's just little, it's sitting there by itself. Interesting story how the states from the Mississippi River west got to be the shapes and sizes they are. If you ever get an opportunity, look it up. It really is rather interesting. I'm not going to go into a history lesson now because we're all about wine. We're not about shapes of states. The Kansas state. A lot of rivers, rather lower to the eastern part of the state. Elevation starts jumping up to the western part of the state. It is, because it's a triangle shape, basically all the counties are just right in a row, and they're all square triangle shaped themselves. A few of them are a little odd shaped, but overall, most of the counties are just square triangle shaped. 105 total counties in Kansas. The road system is two major interstates run through it. You've got I-70, which runs east to west, comes out of Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas City, Kansas, through Topeka, which is the capital, and straight on out west toward Colorado and ends up in Denver. You also have a north-south I-35, which runs out of Kansas City also. I-35 cuts down a little bit south out of Kansas City, then connects up with the Kansas Turnpike. The Kansas Turnpike runs from east of Topeka, actually just out of Kansas City, about Overland Park, the Kansas Turnpike starts, and it runs all the way down and connects with I-35 for a distance and ends up south part of, actually the southeast part of Kansas a little bit. Pretty road. I traveled the Kansas Turnpike a few times, and you've got these nice rolly hills, the classic Kansas plains, rolly hills that go up and down, and the road just sort of lulls you to sleep almost. That's why they put the big wide turns in it, so you'll stay awake as you're making your turns. I-35 goes out of Wichita up and connects onto I-70. But those are your major interstates that go through the state of Kansas, I-35, 335, which is the Kansas Turnpike, and I-70, the east-west route. The elevation of Kansas. Kansas is starting to get quite a different elevation because of the fact that the western edge of it starts getting on up into the foothills and the edges of the Rocky Mountains. On the eastern part of Kansas, you have a lower elevation of 679 feet, the low spot in Kansas, which is on the Vidigris River. That's on the eastern part. A little bit further west from there, elevation jumps up to from 1,200 to 1,800 feet. You go even further west from there, jumps up 1,800 to 3,000 feet, and then going all the way to the western edge of Kansas, 3,000 to 4,500 feet. The high point in Kansas is 4,039 feet, which, you know, the elevation is 4,500, obviously not the highest 4,500. So 4,039 feet is the high point of Kansas. Rivers, a lot of rivers running through Kansas, most of them running west to east. Kansas River runs and connects into the Missouri River. A lot of them go south. The Arkansas River goes that direction, which runs through most of the state of Kansas. A lot of these rivers coming out of Colorado and the Rocky Mountains. Kansas is part of the Gulf of Mexico watershed, so the Kansas and Arkansas rivers being the major rivers running through the state. And plus, they've got a lot. Very wet state as far as rivers go. I mean, it's not dry. We've talked about some states that had very few rivers. Kansas is really pretty full of rivers. I just checked that I have a phone call coming in here. Let me check and see. This is something new to me, and I don't know if I know how to do this or not, but let me check. Caller, you are on the air. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, caller, are you on the air?
Oh, I didn't realize I was on. I didn't push the one to get on the air with you, but I was just looking on my phone.
I just connected you in here. Is this Mike?
Oh, yeah, this is Mike. I just got off work.
Oh, did you? Well, I just announced that you were on your way home and that you weren't with me and I had to muddle through myself and that hopefully you might be able to join me. So,
I'm listening. I've been listening since the parking lot. I'm on Bush Boulevard now, and I heard it gives you a menu and it says, press 1 if you need to go on air. And I was like, no, I'm just listening for right now. And when you said you had a call, I said, that might be me.
It is.
Well, there you go.
Well, I didn't know what I was doing on this switchboard. You usually handle the switchboard, and so I'm up there and I'm looking at it and I'm going, whoa, wait a minute, I got a caller. What do I do? So,
that's interesting. I didn't know it would show me sitting there because I know you can just call in and listen with your phone, which is what I was doing, and I didn't know it would show it on the switchboard. That's interesting. So, So if I can call in from my cell phone on the way home from work, I think everybody else should be able to do that. So call
everyone.
The show. Yeah, 646. That's a number I dialed. 646-727-3235. And you can listen to it. You can call in and get on the air with us. And it's great. I was listening to you for a few minutes there, and so I still have 20 miles to go.
Do you? Well, yeah. I'm going to click your button here, and hopefully I don't cut you off completely, and you can still listen.
Yeah, definitely. I'm still here.
But if I do cut you off completely, then I'm sorry.
I'll call back.
Okay, there you go. Right. I'll go back and start talking about
All right.
Well, okay, I hope you're still there, because you hit the button. That was Mike. He called, and he's the one that handles all this other stuff here, and that's why it was so confusing. So I apologize. I apologize for that. Back to Kansas. We are talking about Kansas and Kansas wineries here. What is this? I'm trying to pull up my next thing here. Here we go. Kansas wines. It's Kansas, like I said, in the middle of the country. It has the climate for Kansas is very challenging for viticulture. Not a good area to grow grapes. The very cold winters, very hot summers. It is right in the middle of the plains. I checked the weather stations before we got on the air. The Williamburg weather station, which is Wichita, which is south central part of Kansas. The weather station there at the moment, 26 degrees, fair skies, 63% humidity. There's some snow on the ground with the winds coming out of the west at our south-southwest at 9 miles an hour. Kansas City, which is on the upper east side of Kansas, the temperature there is 28, 48% humidity, and the wind is coming out southwest at 12 miles an hour. And there's also snow in different areas there. So this is what you find in Kansas as far as weather goes. Your winters, you can get smacked with serious snow, depending on what's coming off the Rockies, coming across, or you can get hit with some frigid cold weather coming out of Canada, working its way down through the country. The jet stream could cut down there and drop the temperature very, very low. In the summer, you get extremely hot weather. You can get humidity that's jumping up to 85, 90, even 95% humidity. And you can have temperatures that are climbing on up and close to 100 and maybe some days over 100. I speak from experience from this because that's part of the country I grew up in. So I know what this is like there. The classic, wait a minute and it will change is very true in that part of the country. You can get heavy winds and hail, and in minutes your crop can be gone. I mean, it's really that severe. Five years ago, that part of the country has some late freezes, and it affected Missouri, Kansas, well, basically all the states right there in the Midwest. And when it did, the crops, a lot of the grapevines were blooming, and they lost a lot of plants and a lot of grapes that year. It can happen. It does in that part of the country. Before Prohibition, they were ranked as, I believe, one of the top producing states in the country as far as wine goes. But the Prohibition came into the United States in 1918, but the state of Kansas introduced Prohibition in 1880. Kansas has always been noted as a very a dry state, a very religious state, a very strict state when it comes to alcohol. I have heard stories from different pilots that say that the airspace over Kansas at times has been a dry zone. You weren't allowed to serve alcohol in the airspace even. So it's one of those very strict laws in Kansas. In the late 1980s, though, Kansas started to change the agricultural laws and a major reform, which permitted bonding of commercial wineries again in the state. And that wasn't, again, until 1980. So because of that, wineries started to pop up. They don't have a lot now. I've looked at the different websites, and the websites have shown me anywhere from 8 up to 32. I talked to Michelle from Holyfield Winery, and she said that there are 20 wineries that she knows of in the state of Kansas. So it depends on where you look. I never got a definitive number. Most of the time I can say, hey, this is how many wineries are here, and that's it. But Kansas, it's for some reason, I never got an exact count on how many wineries were there. I do have to point out, though, that in 2007, the Kansas governor, which is Kathleen Sebelius, I think it's pronounced as Sebelius, did a bad for Kansas wine industry. She made some the disparaging remarks about the Kansas wine industry. She was at a political fundraiser for Governor Chris Gregory of Washington, and they were talking about wine. She said, "You should be thankful we don't make wine in Kansas. If you ever see Kansas wine, don't drink it." And that created, obviously, quite a lot of criticism from Kansas winemakers and grape growers. They did not like that, and they showed their dislike and unappreciation for those comments. So it's expanding. It's growing. Kansas wineries are growing. If you want to own a winery in Kansas, I even found one that's for sale. I'll tell you about in a few minutes here. But there's lots happening in Kansas as far as wine growing goes and what's happening. State of Kansas established in 1861. It's approximately 82,277 square miles, which is 213,096 square kilometers for those of you who are metric out there. It has about 200 acres, a little over 200 acres, or about 80 hectares planted in grapevines. The grapes produced, they have a variety of them. A lot of them in Kansas are a French hybrid or American French cross and stuff like that. You find a good selection of grapes. Chardonnay. Obviously, I've came to discover, and I even mention all the time now, that Chardonnay is probably the grape that's grown around the world. I don't think I've talked about a region or a state or anywhere that didn't have some Chardonnay grape in the ground. It's been amazing. So Chardonnay is, you can find it just about anywhere, and Kansas is also one of them that grow Chardonnay. They also grow on Aurora, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Catawba, Chambortian, Chancellor, Chardonnay, the Chardonnay, like I said, Concord, Gewurztraminer, Leon Melot, Marechal Foch, Melody, Niagara, Norton or Cynthiana, Sauval Blanc, St. Vincent, Traminette, Vidal Blanc, and Vignole. Plus some others. This is just an abbreviated list. As I started to look at the different wineries, and I started to look at the what some of these wineries were growing, I started to find a lot of different grapes that are being grown in Kansas right now. I found the Kansas Grape Growers and Winemakers Association. This is one of a couple of associations that try to promote the wineries in Kansas and the viticulture. I tried to find a phone number for someone there. Couldn't find a phone number, but they did list vineyards and wineries. They only had listed here 14 wineries on this list, and a couple of them didn't have much information on them. But wineries that I did talk look up, and I did was able to find out about it. It seems like most Kansas wineries are in the eastern part of the state. I found none that was located in the western part of the state, in the higher elevations and stuff, which really surprised me. I don't know why. It surprised me. I know why it surprised me. I don't know why I couldn't find wineries in the western part of the state. And I honest with you, I forgot to ask Michelle when I talked to her why everything was more or less concentrated in the east. But the when you look at a map of Kansas, just about all of the wineries, I think the furthest west you go is just a little west of the center of the state. There's a big cluster of them around Wichita, another big, real big cluster just out of Kansas City, up in that area there and up around there. I've been to some wineries in Kansas. In fact, one of them I called and talked to, Hollyfield. I have been there before, and I've also been to a Hymoff winery. For some reason, once you get in the higher elevations of the western part of Kansas, you don't find wineries. And if somebody's out there listening and you're familiar with Kansas wineries or something, give me a call. Explain to me why. I would think that area might be a little bit more conducive to wineries because of the hills and stuff like that. But most of it is in the eastern part of the state. They were influenced by the glaciers. The land there was influenced by the glaciers. The glaciers came down, seemed to influence a lot part of this country. We talked to Iowa last week, and we found that the glaciers came down and pretty much flattened all the state up there. And so you have small hills and small valleys, but basically it's all flat. We talked to Indiana and Illinois, and we found that the glaciers came down and pushed down to the southern part of the state, and that's where most of the wineries are there. But it not seems to be that big of an effect. I mean, the Missouri, when we get to that, we'll find that the northern part of the state is flat from the glaciers, southern parts, the Ozark foothills and a lot of hills and stuff. Kansas doesn't seem to be affected that way. So the soil is a low soil, L-O-E-S-S, and a clay soil combination. That's what you find most part of the eastern part of the state where most of the wineries are. It is, let me check back and see if anybody's called in. No, we haven't had another caller yet. I guess Mike's still out there. Hi, Mike. The soil is pretty much clay with a good topsoil. Kansas, Oklahoma, that area there, whenever you see old pictures of the Dust Bowl of the of the 20s and 30s, back when people got all this land for free and put all these crops down in the ground and all that. No rains, and it became nothing but just a bunch of dust, called the Dust Bowl part of the country. This is where it happened. Kansas was a big part of that. And maybe the western part of the state is the reason they're not planting there. Maybe it is not good for water or something. I don't know. So, but Kansas, again, most of the wineries are on the eastern side of the state. Kansas also has an agritourism bureau, part of the Department of Congress, Commerce in Kansas. They're very big on promoting the wineries there and trying to help stuff. Not too long ago, they changed some rules. Back in 2004, they changed some rules, and I heard a beep. Let me see if this is somebody coming on the line. Nope, I'm sorry. Back in 2004, they changed some rules, and they tried to promote the agritourism in Kansas. When they did change these rules, they also was able to make the wineries agricultural wineries, part of the ag system. Excuse me. A lot of states have done that. Florida actually is one of them. We are an agricultural winery. Some states do it. Others don't. For some reason, they all haven't found the, you know, putting in. We just talked to Iowa last week, and they also have went over to being part of agriculture. But it depends on how the system works with you, if it works with you well or not. If you have vineyards in some of the states, Kansas, I think you have to have some vineyards to be part of agritourism. Just being a wine store, a wine front, I don't think qualifies you in that. So, and that's the way most of the states are set up, I believe. The wineries of Kansas are, again, they're spread out most of the eastern part of the state. I've been to Heimoff Winery. Let me tell you a little bit about Heimoff, and then I'm going to talk quite a bit about Holyfield Winery. This is one I talked to some extent today. But Heimoff Winery, located out in the hills east of Wichita, west of Kansas City. It is, when I went there, it was funny. We're going through these rolling hills. We're not seeing anything. And the classic rolling hills of eastern Kansas, out in the middle of country, you're seeing farmhouses and a little small subdivision because you're only about 35, 40 minutes out of Lawrence, Kansas, or even, almost an hour out of Kansas City, downtown Kansas City. So rather easy commutes. I'm driving along, and there on the mailbox, dangling down in the little small sign, says winery. My brother-in-law and sister were with me. I said, there it was. We slam on our brakes, turn around, we pull around to the back. There's a little small, like a shed, size of a shed, a little small house set in the back, and this was the winery. The vineyards were over on the other side of a hill. I asked about it. A nice lady, older lady that ran the place, her and her husband have it, and they little store there, and they had a dog laying on the floor, you know, one of these winery dogs, which I would love to get a winery dog ourselves, so that just sat out there and lay on the floor. This one, though, laid on the floor, and I had to step over it every time I had to go anywhere. The dog felt that there was absolutely no need to move because people were there. And the lady was great. She enjoyed her wine. She gave us some tastings. I told her that I was trying to get a wine from every state in the nation. A bottle from every state in the nation is set up on the shelf at my winery. And she reached me under the counter and handed me a bottle and said, here, this is for your collection. She handed me one for the collection. So I wanted to bring up Heimoff Winery just because she was such a sweet lady, and she did give me a wine for the collection. And it was a pleasant visit there. We visited for 15, 20 minutes and went on. I'm surprised that they sell anything, though, the way it just, there's no directions, no anything. And the sign is so small, I'm surprised anybody sees it when they drive by it. Maybe GPS. That's how people find stuff now, is through GPS. I looked at another winery I want to talk about a little bit here. This is Oz Winery, O-Z, Oz Winery. Oz Winery is located in Wamego, Kansas. Wamego is central, south, northeast of Wichita. Oz Winery is, the reason I want to talk about this is because the names of their wines, they're located in downtown Wamego. Their website, and if you're listening to me, Oz, I'm sorry, but your website is lacking for telling me any real information about the winery itself. It just tells how to contact you and all that stuff. They're open 7 days a week, but the names of the wines is really what is what caught my eye and what I wanted to bring up on this. Again, Kansas, okay? If you're familiar, Kansas is the home of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. And so the Oz Winery here, the wines that they have available, and I'm just going to run down to the names of these real fast. The red wines, Oil Can, dark red-bodied Norton with notes of all flower and cherry, but Oil Can. Curl Your Stockings is a fruity, full-flavored dry Syrah fermented in oak. Mrs. Gulch's Incredible Ride. Now, if you think about Wizard of Oz, and anyone out there, and most of you are probably familiar with it, Mrs. Gulch rode the bicycle in the tornado. A light body crisp Frontenac with notes of cranberry. Ruby Slippers is another red wine, a dry Bacchanoir. They have a Ding Dong, the wine is red, which I rather liked. A dry medium body Deschenic with notes of cherry. They got the Drunken Munchkin, a light-bodied Cabernet Sauvignon. An OEO, if you remember the Munchkin singing, OEO. This is a dark, dry Cabernet Merlot blend. Lions, Tigers, and Bears au Merlot. Again, a Merlot wine. I'm Melting Merlot, a fruit-forward, lighter-style Merlot. Angry Trees. Again, remember they're walking through the forest and the trees got mad at them. A dry Chambortian with hints of dark berries. Sip and Think Some More. Sip and Think Some More. A dry, earthy Pinot Noir. I'm sure they got these wines shipped in from California or something. I don't see the state of Kansas growing all these different grapes. They also have a blend of Zinfandel and Merlot, which they call Run, Toto, Run. I still, Ding Dong, the wine is red, is my favorite. They have a lighter peppery red that's called the Flying Monkey. Turn Back, a semi-sweet Fredonia. These are all still red. Squished Witch. It's a semi-sweet Ives Noir-based red. Witch in a Ditch. Again, if you remember the movie, it's semi-sweet red wine. Professor Marvel's Ruby Red, another sweet and spicy red wine. And Behind the Curtain, one that they say is coming soon. I don't know what that is. And the white wines, they don't stop with just reds. They got some cute names for whites, too. Can't Find My Way Home, an unoaked Chardonnay. Click. And on the picture is the Ruby Slippers that she cooks the hills. A dry Sauval. Emerald City Lights, a Sauval Vignol blend. Poppy Fields, a semi-dry Pinot Gris. We're Off. This is a semi-sweet Muscat. I'll Get You My Pretty, a semi-sweet Riesling. Yellow Brick Road, it's a semi-sweet blend of Chardonnay and Vignol. Witch Gone Good, another semi-sweet blend of Vignon and Sauval. Frady Cat. And I honestly don't remember a cat in the movie, but hey, this is a sweet Vignon. Little Dog 2, Kansas in the Rearview Mirror, and Blue Gingham Dress are all new ones coming out soon. They have a blush wine, Wine of a Different Color, which they have a horse on the cover. If you remember, one of my absolute favorite parts of the whole movie was the horse that changed colors. It was a horse of a different color, and I just love that term, and I love the horse that changed colors all the time. Auntie M's Prairie Rose, And dessert-wise, they have the Lion's Courage, which is a port style, and a Surrender, which is another sherry style wine. And then for limited edition, they have three wines, the Wonderful Wizard of Oz wine of Fruit Forward Red, a Dorothy, a Pinot Gris, and the Scarecrow, a Syrah-based dry red wine. I love the names. That's a great idea, a great concept, and I wanted to share those with you. They can be found at the Oz Winery in Kansas, if you like to look those up yourself and check those out. Let me check back here and see if I have any callers. I not knowing if I will or not, but I need to check. Nope, Mike's still out there. Thanks for hanging on, Mike. At least I got one caller listening to me. I called a winery that I have talked to before, that I have been to, actually. Again, like I said, I live in I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, and I lived there for many years. And I go back there every once in a while and visit family and friends around that area and take in the sights and sounds of Kansas City. And a couple years ago when I was back there, I did a wine trip for myself. I went over to Kansas, jumped up to Nebraska and over to Iowa, and then back down to Kansas City, did a big circle and visited wineries in the four states. One of the wineries I visited was Holyfield Winery in Kansas. They are located in Bayshore, Kansas. They are the phone number, if you need to get a hold of them, is area code 913-724-9463 or 724-WINE. That spells out WINE. And then everybody's texting now, so you don't have to worry about, you know, what those numbers are. You can punch in WINE real fast. But they're open 7 days a week, 10 to 6, Saturdays 9:30 to 6, Sundays noon to 6. So you can get a hold of them anytime. I called to Michelle. Michelle is half owner of the Holyfield Winery. Holyfield Winery is also owned by her father, Les. Michelle and Les first planted grapes in the ground back in 1986, and they have grown over 12,000 vines on 14 acres. And basically, those two are the ones that have been handling everything and doing everything. Michelle did tell me, though, during our conversation, our very pleasant conversation, by the way, that, her brother is been helping a lot lately and been jumping in there and been doing stuff with them and all that. So they have another set of hands. Dad is getting some help. I'm sure Michelle's not going to slow down, but Dad's getting some help there. They're located on 158th Street, intersection of 158th Street and 2440 Highway in southern Leavenworth County, Kansas. Leavenworth County is just west of Kansas City area and in the south. You may have heard of that's Federal Penitentiary in Leavenworth. That's the one of the big federal pens there. Name derived from Holyfield Road, which is was 158th Street, used to be called Holyfield Road, and so they continued with the tradition, named the winery Holyfield Vineyard and Winery. They opened the doors for the first tasting in 93-94. Michelle told me 93. The website says 94. I tend to have to agree with Michelle because, hey, she's the one that did it. They have a bunch of American grapes and a bunch of French hybrids planted there. She said that the temperature there is cold with a little bit of snow on the ground, but this time of year it's not a big problem simply because the grapes are so dormant. She said the big problem with the snow and the cold, though, is the fact that they can't get out there and trim and prune. This is that time of year that vineyards do that. Now, well, actually, in the northern hemisphere here, if you're, you know, in southern hemisphere, it's it's the opposite, obviously, because it's southern hemisphere. But northern hemisphere, this is the time of year they do the trimming and pruning, and because of the snow and stuff, they have not been able to get out there and do that lately. So they said that they've been a little bit slow on that stuff. The I just blocked it. Oh, I hear somebody.
What?
Oh, who's that?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay. I'm just letting you know I'm logged in.
Oh, okay.
This is, I'm sorry.
I heard a noise. I'm going, what happened?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're home.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm listening to you on the car speakers. That was pretty funny with the wine names. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry about that.
That's great. I loved it. That's why I had to share it, because it was too funny. well, good. Glad to have you on the air. You can start checking the callers now and see if anything. Well, you've got 19 minutes left. If anybody's out there wants to call in, again, the number is 727-3235. You can call in and talk about wine with us. Holyfield Winery, we were just discussing it. Their production runs annually about 7,000 gallons. They have 10 different varieties of grapes that they're doing. They also have a big banquet hall that they do weddings and events and all sorts of stuff. And they're really pretty busy on that stuff. They're open every day of the year except for the major holidays. Grapes, Chambortian. They have won lots of awards. Michelle was really quite proud of her awards, as she should be. They've won a lot of awards there. Their website, let me give you their website if you'd like to check all these out. I won't tell you the awards for all the wines because it would be quite involved, because they have won a lot. Ever since 2006, there's a list of awards here. But go to www.holyfield, I keep wanting to say Holly, Holyfield, HOLYFIELDWINERY, holyfieldwinery.com, and you can check out all the awards and everything that they have won for all of their different wines. They have also been a winner of 5 Jefferson Cups, which is really a prestigious award in the wine industry. They just this year picked up a couple more, one for their Chambortian, I believe she said, and I apologize, Michelle, if you're listening. I can't remember the other one, but just this year they picked up 2 more, so they've won 5 Jefferson Cups for their wine. Which, you know, kudos to you. That's a great thing. Cynthiana, not Norton, but Cynthiana. Again, the debate rages. I have to talk about this for a second here. The debate rages. Are they the same grape? Are they a different grape? A lot of places say, no, it's the exact same grape. You just go ahead and call it the Norton or Cynthiana interchangeably because it's the same. And then other people say, no, Cynthiana is a different grape than the Norton. Other people say, well, I'm not going to call it the Cynthiana because that's what Arkansas does. Other people say, I'm not going to call it the Norton because that's what Missouri does. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. I call it the Norton simply because that's the name I hear most often. That's actually... We have the Norton Plant and Vineyards here in Florida. He talked to us on the phone. I've got a blank. I can't remember his name. Terry at Strong Tower Winery has Norton planted, and that's what he calls, and that's what he's that's what we call it down here. So, but they have the Norton grape. They have a couple of fruit rind, raspberry and blackberry, which they do import. Those are the only ones that they do import. As far as anything goes, all the rest of the wines and everything are done with in-house. Back to the soil. I'll tell you some of the things that Michelle had to say here and all that about the winery and about wines and stuff. Let me look at my notes here. She said when you get in the Midwest, like I said, there's a winery for sale here I found it on the thing here. So if you're looking at getting yourself a winery in the Midwest, then there's one in Kansas that's for sale right now. What? There it is. Let me see if I can find this again for you here. I'll tell you the number you can call if you're interested in getting a interested in buying a winery. I think this is it. Yes, this is it. This is called Slow Creek Vineyard. It is located in let's see, Oskaloosa, Kansas, on Highway K-92. They've got vineyards, they've got a lake, they've got the house, they've got land, a little bit of everything. So if you're looking at getting yourself a winery, then this is set up for you and ready to go. They're asking $629,000 for it. The winery's closed right now, but it includes all the other stuff and everything, bed and breakfast, whatever you want. Only about 45 minutes to an hour outside of Kansas City, so it's rather close to humanity, but yet buried out in nowhere. I was talking to Michelle, and she said, people don't go to Kansas looking for wineries, and which is probably true. I mean, if you're out looking for a winery, if you got the money to get a winery, you're not going to look in Kansas. More than likely, you're going to look in places like California, maybe New York, possibly some other places. And yeah, well, that's true. My engineer just told me that you're not going to find one there for that price, which is very true. I mean, you know, I've seen prices for little wineries advertised in different things, and they're, you know, $2.3 million and $2.6 million, and, you know, a cheap one is only $125 million, stuff like that. So, $1.25 million. So, you're not going to find wineries at this price anywhere. But it's true, though, you don't go looking for a winery there. She said most people who have wineries in Kansas, and this is probably true for most states. If you have land, if you're sitting there, what am I going to do? Let me plant some grapes and see what happens. And over the programs, if you look back and you know, and look at what's been said and what's been done, most of the people have done that. Most of the people had land. They put grapes in the ground, and it's resulted in opening up a winery and going from there. So very few people go out and look to buy a winery. Most of them will just grow grapes and then say, okay, I'm going to have myself a winery. Holyfield Winery uses French hybrid grapes. A lot of snow right now in the winter, she said, but it's not going to hurt. It's going to be a nice water base to trickle into the ground. By the time the stuff melts, it'll melt into the ground, which is really going to help, which I can understand. That's what winter wheat is all about. It doesn't hurt the grapevines. I mean, France gets snow and everything, too. Michelle and her husband and her father, Les, do all the work on there, except for the brother who's starting to join it now. I asked her about laws for shipping and different things out of Kansas, if you have to have license. She said that Kansas does allow shipping now. If you buy your license, and she's not sure how much it costs because she doesn't ship. She said that as far as she's concerned, she sells everything she needs to sell out the door, and shipping is just going to be an extra expense for her. It's going to just put some more money that she doesn't want to spend. By the time she starts doing the paying for the boxes and paying for everything else and trying to get all the proper licensing and everything to ship, she decided that they would not ship. So Holyfield Winery does not ship. So if you call and you want something, then you may have to make a trip there. Kansas shipping license required if you're going to ship out of Kansas. A Kansas shipping license required. Kansas can sell directly to liquor stores, to restaurants and stuff like that. So if you're a winery in Kansas, you don't have to go through a distributor to do that. It sounds like we have a phone call coming in.
We put that on stop. We now have Holyfield Winery on the phone.
Fantastic. Who is this, Michelle?
Yeah,
this is Michelle.
Hello, Michelle. You've been listening?
Hi, Ron. Well, I had a group of people here this evening, and they just left, so I went on your site and found you and just started listening to you. How you doing?
Doing quite well. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm happy to.
We only have 10 minutes on the air, so...
okay, well, talk away.
Well, no. You talk away. I've been talking for the last 50 minutes.
Okay, well...
Tell us, just talk to us about Holyfield Winery.
Well, I would say, visiting Holyfield, and like to me, I'm the kind of person, I love wine, I love all wine, and at Holyfield we talk about OPW, other people's wine. Sometimes when you're in the wine business, people think you only drink your own stuff, and I always say that's not a good thing because then you have cellar palate.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So OPW, we enjoy, you know, drinking other people's wine because I know, like, if my wine's in a competition, what it award it earned, and I know what other wines have earned, so I'm always looking to seek out those wines, be it a hybrid, a regional wine, or vinifera, or whatever. I mean, and to me, I always say that if you enjoy wine, what greater pastime could you have? Because you're never going to get to taste it all. You're never going to know it all. And every year is different because we're not making Coca-Cola.
That's true. Like,
so,
except New Coke.
No, but we're not even doing that.
Yeah. I want to point out.
Like, I mean, I think that, like, we just had a group of people here from a co-op in the Midwest that they're on a kind of a farm tour. And a lot of times people sometimes forget about the agriculture behind wine, unfortunately. But, you know, I always tell people if you love wine, thank a farmer because somebody had to grow it. And so it was really fun this evening. We had a big group of people from central Kansas, and their co-op had brought them to Kansas City for some, you know, time out. And we were able to introduce them to an agricultural product in Kansas that they're not as familiar with. And I think that's really a great thing, especially about visiting regional wineries, no matter what state you're in. You really get a taste of the region that you're in. And that's what, you know, wine is all about.
I want to point out, Holyfield Winery is the oldest winery in Kansas.
That's true.
The first four that they're number five, the bond number five, the first four have closed down, so they are the oldest winery in Kansas, and rather well known, actually. The awards have got them a name throughout the country, if not the world, in different areas. So for a Kansas winery, you guys have really jumped in and done a lot. I want to ask you a question. I was going to ask you, and I'm glad you called because I mentioned on the program earlier, why are all the wines in Kansas basically on the eastern part and mid-eastern instead of any in the west?
Well, I would say, this is just a personal perspective. You know, Kansas grapes are very susceptible to herbicide damage from 2,4-D.
Right.
And 2,4-D is a herbicide that has high drift factor.
Mm-hmm.
And in the western part of the states, I think that there's a lot more of that. I mean, not that it's not sprayed abundantly on our side of the state, but I honestly can't tell you exactly why. I mean, it just happens that I'm in northeastern Kansas. But herbicide damage is a big problem for grape growers, especially in an ag state like Kansas. I mean, they spray 2,4-D to kill almost everything. Unfortunately,
right.
Sometimes people that spray it don't adhere to the rules or read the actual packaging. And, I mean, there's documented drift on 2,4-D for up to 10, 13 miles. And so it's really hard to document who sprayed the stuff that hurt your vines. And I think that in some aspects, it's just my opinion, that it could be a larger problem out west where there's a lot more pasture ground where they're spraying stuff like that.
Uh-huh. I was wondering. I was talking about where the wineries are and the land and all that stuff. I want to also point out, too, that Michelle, for all of you listening out there, Michelle is the president of the Kansas Viticulture and Farm Winery Association.
Yes.
So she's knowledgeable of what's going on in Kansas as far as viticulture and wineries and stuff like that.
I have been appointed to the Kansas Grape and Wine Advisory Council, which is a council that advises the Secretary of Agriculture in the state of Kansas.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
And it's an important aspect of the wine business to have an agricultural component, because that protects regionality and terroir and things like that. And that's why in the Midwest you're not going to find a lot of, or any, I hope, Sauve Blanc or Chardonnay or Merlot, because typically vinifera rootstock doesn't thrive in a Midwestern climate. They're just not cold hardy enough. And so when you visit regional wineries in the Midwest, you're more likely to find the French hybrids like I grow at Holyfield, Saval, Chardonnay, Vignole, Chamberson, and grapes of that nature. But that's the beauty of wine. I mean, you can taste Saval at 7 different wineries. You can taste Chamberson at that many different wineries or
and
more.
They all probably taste different, too.
Absolutely. I mean, you get the underlying varietal character, but you're going to have the style variation from winery to winery, different people. You know, some people, like at Holyfield, we only do stainless steel white wine. I don't barrel age any white wine at Holyfield, but some people do. And some people really like that. So it's an opportunity to see, you know, the influence that the people, you know, it's like your thumbprint. It's the imprint of the winemaker when you taste the different styles of wine at different wineries.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that, to me, what could be more fun than that, than to go about and, you know, like a lot of people say ABC, anything but Chardonnay.
Yeah, or anything but Cabernet, true.
Yeah, that's not always true. I mean, you might not like a certain style, but you might not totally not like it. So the beauty of it is you can taste in a tasting room all the different styles, and you might go, wow, I really like Chardonnay done in French oak, or I really like Chardonnay, or, you know, not in this region, you're not going to find Chardonnay, but Saval done in stainless steel. You know, and sometimes the consumer doesn't really understand the concept of stainless steel, because there's such a strong association between wine and oak barrels.
Right.
And people sometimes don't realize that maybe what they don't like about wine, or what they do like about wine, either way, is the oak influence or not the oak influence. And at Holyfield, we choose to do all of our whites in stainless steel. We don't barrel age any white wine. And that's just the style. It's not right or wrong. It's just what it is.
Well, Michelle, we've got about a minute left. Why don't you quickly give us your website and your phone number if anyone wants to get in hold of you or talk to you anymore about Kansas Wine.
I would
love
to. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Michelle Meyer. I work with my father, Les Meyer, at Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas. We're just outside of Kansas City, and our website is www.holyfieldwinery.com, and it's Holyfield. And our phone number is 913-724-9463. And if you're ever in Kansas or the Kansas City area, we love visitors.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ron.
Down there. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And I will be visiting you next time I'm out there.
Absolutely. Love to see you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you. Thank you.
We got less than a minute
great.
Here.
Yeah, they have a lot of events coming up, too. They have a lot of murder mystery dinner shows and music and quite a bit going on up there at in Kansas at the Holyfield Vineyard and Winery. So definitely check them out if you're in the area, and give them a call. Let them know you heard about them on the show here. We'd love to have that as well. Ron, you have a wine fest coming up this Saturday, January 15th, from 2 p.m.
Class this Saturday.
It's a class. What did I say? Did I say fest? Yeah, I'm looking at the website, and it says it does say class. Okay, wine class. Sorry, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. January 15th. I don't know why I have festival on my mind. 10 seconds. And we'll see you on next Thursday at 7 p.m.
We'll see you next
Thursday.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. See you next week.
Okay, thank you. Oh, my gosh. That was quick.
That was quick.
It says on live now, remaining zero. Oh, there we go. Okay, show's on, but not streaming. Wow.
They just cut us off. Well, yes. Good. I'm glad she called in a little late, but she had a group of people. She said, she told me earlier she might not be able to call in because she has a group of people. So I'm glad she was able to do it anyway.
Well, I saw the number come up, and I said, oh, that looks like an 813, but it's a 913. And I pulled her into the screening room, and I said, hello? And she says, hi, this is Michelle. I go, oh, hi, would you like to go on the air and talk to Ron? She goes, yes, I'm with Holyfield Winery. And I go, hold on just a second.
Great. That's why I have you, because you do that. I would have missed her completely. I just, you know. So.
Well, I know you got your material and stuff, so I'm thinking now I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the website, like I was looking at the winery web, your website, to see if there was anything coming up, and so I'm looking at the upcoming events there, and then I go over to, I find Holyfield Winery on there, and then I switch back to the switchboard, and there she is. I'm like, I had to squint and look at the, because the numbers are too small on my screen. It's like I can barely see the 813 on my number, and then I thought it was 813 there, so I thought it was a local caller. And then when she says, no, I'm... Uh-huh. Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay, well, there you go.
Good.
So I was writing down some of her information so I could update the Blog Talk Radio, like the blog section where I can type in show notes and stuff that took place. So give her a mention there, too. So that was good.
It was
excellent.
We covered Kansas. We got that out. Kentucky next week. I already announced it during the program. Kentucky next week.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, and I've been to some wine upstairs.
Oh, good. The show sounded really good on my, because I had my phone plugged into my stereo in the car.
Oh,
so I was listening to you through. Yeah, so I was listening to you like it was AM radio. that sounds pretty cool. It's like I listened to a radio show, you know? If I do that, like next time, you know, if I have to call in like that or something on my cell phone, I'd just say, yeah, I'm listening to you on 9 something AM, you know?
This is Ron, broadcasting
on
9:07 a.m.
9:07 a.m. And people turning on, where did I get 9:07 a.m.?
Yeah, what?
I never heard of that frequency.
Never heard of that. Or 13:80 a.m. They go, huh?
Okay. Wow, so that was pretty good. So you got in there and got the show done and everything. So
yeah, I just,
that's cool.
You know, I heard the phone ring. You surprised me on that. I
you know what?
I go, 813, that's local. And Kathy said, that's Mike. And I go, oh, wow.
Well, when I was listening to it on the speakers, and then when you said something, you said, oh, we have a caller. I go, okay, well, I didn't push one because I was just going to listen. And I didn't realize it came on automatically. It says, press one if you'd like to talk to the show host. And I didn't press anything, or hang on, and you can listen to the show. So I just hung on there. And when you said that, I thought, well, he's not talking about me. He's talking about somebody else.
And then
when you said hello, I was like, nope, nobody else is coming back. Let me try this. So I said, well, that was pretty good. But, yeah, that sounded pretty good on my stereo. I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. Next Thursday I have the regular – I'm just working my regular time. This was – they've changed hours but for this particular position. But I'm not doing it next Thursday, so I'm good next Thursday.
Okay, good.
So that's all I got to worry about. So that's good. Did you see any statistics or anything on Black Talk Radio? Have you?
No.
Let's see. I wondered how last week's went.
I don't know how to look at it.
Oh, well, under that same, just in case, under that same menu up in the upper corner where you've got the switchboard,
yeah.
You go down two more and it says reporting, and you'll see everything, all the shows that were reported.
Back to the blog.
Wow.
Long. I don't know how to do that now. I can't go back.
You should have a separate You should have a separate window open that says Blog Talk Radio without the switchboard on it.
I do not, no.
Oh, because not only the Blog Talk.
Oh, there it is.
The switchboard. Yeah.
Okay. It said all about wine. I was looking for Blog Talk. Okay. Settings.
Above settings. It's above settings. It says reporting.
Reporting.
Yes.
Click on that.
Yeah. And
yeah. I know. We're big time now.
Absolutely.
Oh, look at that. Oh, you've got a,
I'm trying to figure this out. Is this is showing Iowa? That doesn't make any sense. Iowa 235. I don't know if that's 10 live, which is pretty good. January it says 235.
That's the only show we've done.
Yeah, that can't. I was thinking maybe it was cumulative, but the one before that shows 272, so it can't be a cumulative, because then it would be over 272, and it's 235.
A total archive.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe people have discovered us.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, it is.
We should start getting advertising revenue. What was her name? Michelle?
Send her a bill.
Okay, she got 10 minutes of air time. So.
$29.99. That pays for next month.
That's right. That would work. All right, so wow, that's pretty interesting there. That's a good statistic.
89 archive. That's what it shows. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Four live, but then archive. Those are the ones that listen to an archive.
I don't know what that means, but
my engineer here doesn't believe that we're doing that well.
That's what I'm like, I don't know where else it's coming from. I mean,
they're not going to just pick up those numbers. It's got to be from something. No, they wouldn't.
No. It's, you look down where it says the top ways people are accessing the show, and it shows other, and then by their browser or unknown. Those are total, I think that's from the year, maybe. I don't know if that's a year-to-date or if that's since July. July, because that's what our, you look at the top and it shows display and it shows from a certain date to a certain date.
Click on the little thing that says see full report.
Oh, I haven't done that.
Yeah, down at the bottom. Click on that.
2011. Does that give you more? I didn't see that. I was trying to update the, I was putting, that's 113. Nope. 101. I'm changing the dates.
Two people listen to us on Apple. Two people listen to us on Mac, archived.
Oh, yeah, that. Okay.
Real media, two people. Pod Trapper, 6. Smartphone, 8. FDM,
cool.
20. Windows Media Player, 41 people listen to us archived. iTunes, 138. Search engine.
Could be anything, huh?
Yeah. Any of the search engines found us.
Yeah.
Browser. I guess it's yours.
It defaulted from July of last year. There's a, at the very top, it says display, and then it says month, and then it had July 13th through January 13th, 2011. And you can narrow that down. Like I put January 1st of this year to the current, and then hit update, and it updated all the charts.
Oh,
I can see just what we've done, just how many people year to date. So you can update that also and kind of narrow it down instead of having the whole half year, or you can do the whole year. It doesn't matter.
I just hit update there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's still showing 799 total archived and all that for the first.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. Program. That's like, wow. That's quite a bit.
Yeah. That is.
Now I'm getting nervous.
Don't talk about that. I'll get nervous.
You know, the first night was like just us and maybe a couple, you know, a handful, like Marianne's listening, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Now you've got 700 or something on archives. Now I'm going to be like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of people listening to this. You know, a lot of,
we have to get a bigger auditorium to house all these people. So, well, okay. Let's see, what else? I can't believe we're still chatting on their Blog Talk Radio thing.
Yeah, well, we've bought the block. We should have it up to 11 o'clock.
Really?
Yeah, well.
I mean, the show's.
No, we've got the block.
That's right.
You know, we can expand the program to an hour if we want, an hour and a half or whatever, to 2 hours, whatever. Because we've got the block.
Yes. I see what you're saying.
That's one of the things that gives us. I'm gonna let Kathy talk to you. She's all excited about the new new newsletter that you're going on. So I'm going to ask you questions and stuff here.
Okay.
All right.
Hello.
All right. I think I'm here.
Okay. Yes.
No, I won't. You'll have to move. Okay. All right. I love the new newsletter.
Did you see the one with the graphics?
With the what?
Did you see the one with the graphic and everything on it? That
yes, yeah. Look,
okay.
Like,
I don't know if you had that or not.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you had that or not. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know how to get in there and try to use it.
Okay, that is on a website that I put it on my because it's a software package that I had to install on a server, so I put it on my default website server.
Uh-huh.
And let me see if I can. I have it somewhere. Not to mention it. Where did it go?
Or you can send it to us.
Yeah, I send you the information. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, I can. Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll give you the. It's a little more to get to the newsletter setup part, but once you're there, and you see all you're doing is filling out a form,
uh-huh.
And. As soon as you click send, or like I send a test email first just to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you do that, it reads the form that you filled out and then replaces in the template the parts of your form.
Right.
So you have a certain look to it, and if that needs to be changed, that's not a problem because I know how to do the template and everything.
No,
but
I think
anything
that
of
looks
that
great.
Needs, wow. Well, thank you. but once you fill that out and it sends it, in the process of sending it. It fills everything in, and then you have it formatted like it looks. And I did a couple of changes because some of the fonts were different sizes in there that I noticed, and so I changed that a little bit. But everything else looked. Let me see if I have the website now. Yeah, I'll send you the link, and I don't remember the password. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, I'll send you that, and then maybe I'll get you some instructions on how to get to the form. And some details on it, so you can check it out. I don't know if you, how do you send it? Do you send it through Outlook or through a different server?
No, I send it through Outlook.
Okay.
Yeah, everything goes through Outlook, yeah.
Okay, so it goes through your email, whoever provides your email from Outlook.
Yes.
Outlook connects, okay. What I was reading up on is, like, the host that I'm on, the one that I have the script on, can send up to 5,000 messages per day, but no more than 500 an hour. And this program will throttle it down so it doesn't send off, you know, however many at one time. And I don't know how many are in your list, but, you know,
There's
if you have a lot of people.
5,000 now.
Ooh, okay. See, there would be a limit there. There's another provider that I saw that limited their, you know, email, outgoing emails to like 1,000. And then I read, because I'm on Bright House on Roadrunner.
Uh-huh.
And apparently they lock theirs at either 50 or 100, I think it is, per day. And if it gets to that point, everything else over that limit will be bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was liking about this program, if you do it from within the program, anything that's invalid or bounced back because the address is no longer valid, it will tell you, and it'll give you the option of, you know, don't send it next time. There's no point in sending a, you know, to somebody who doesn't exist.
Yeah, I have to clean up my list all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, if you're getting bounced back because the address doesn't exist anymore, then you're already taking care of that. My concern is are you sure that over 5,000 emails are actually going out and they're not being restricted by your email provider?
Actually, what I do is send 80 at a time.
Oh, okay.
At, through, you know, I have my email list in Excel, and I just copy 80 at a time into it, and then after... I was told, anyway, what do I know, but I was told when we first started this that you should, like, after 800, you have to give it a break. I don't know. I do it. So I usually end up doing, like, 1,000 at a time, but 80 at a shot.
Okay. See, the provider that I have this loaded on right now, they with the 5,000 limit, you can send 500 an hour, but they have to be, I think, 2 seconds apart from each other. That whatever calculated up to 500 per hour.
Uh-huh.
So I heard somebody did something, and they said just to be safe, make it 8 seconds per email, and then that gives that makes sure that the server doesn't bog down because it uses a lot of resources to send the emails out.
Yeah,
and
that's not a problem.
And I don't know what your provider. I think you sent me that a long time ago for your web host. You sent, I think there was something a long time ago that you sent some details or something. Who was your website host provider, I guess? And we can always check with them because if this could be loaded up on wherever Florida Estates Winery Wines is located on, you can send them from there and then let the program just handle the outgoing and you know, give you the reports that this many emails made it and this many came back. I don't know
I've tried to send, we've had mega computer problems. I only have one computer I can actually send from now.
Okay.
And where was I going? using Outlook. You know, I have everything sent to Outlook and I use that. The world client is part of our website.
World and, client?
Mm. Yeah, it's part of our website.
Okay. I was gonna see if they're not your host. They're not the ones hosting your website though, right? Is that the name of your website provider?
Oh,
company?
No, the website provider is Synergy.
Synergy? Okay, I might check that out because what's cool about this is you do it one time. Let's say you build up your user list. Like you have, let's say 5,000, just as a figure. You have 5,000 people that you're emailing.
Uh-huh.
You set that up in here, and you can import them all using a CSV file, the comma separated format. You can import all those addresses in it. You type in your message one time and just tell it to send on a whatever schedule. You can send them out starting at midnight or tomorrow, whatever, and it'll go through your user list and just send them out. And it's transparent to you except, you know, until you get the report back and it tells you how many it sent out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that would be an automated way to do that, and you would put the burden on your host as far as sending them, your website host, if they allow that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. I have no idea.
Yeah, I would have to do some research on that. I mean, I found out what mine was and a couple others, but some of them are real sticklers for it because if you send too many out, it not only does it bog their system out, but then it gets kicked as it gets turned, reported as spam because all these emails are going out and then it gets reported as spam. And next thing you know, you're blocked and you don't want to do that.
No.
but as far as limiting how many you can send out, that's up to the provider that you know allows you to have email or you know your website is that's what I'm going through is my website. But using this, you can type in your email you can type in your newsletter information, send a copy of it to yourself, you know, have it forwarded to your email address.
Yeah.
And then you can send it out using Outlook that way.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That would be back to something I recognize.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's not a problem. And then you can see how it And once I send you the information, you can see how it works and everything. So I'll just do that, let you, you know, work with it. You can send out, you know, what you need to, you know, mess with the different, you know, look at the template, type in your different messages, send it to yourself, see how it looks. If you like it, then, you know, go from there. But then you can forward it on or what.
Yeah, when we took this thing over, it's like, well, here it is. Go ahead. You have to do this. Okay. I spend so many hours trying to clean it up, and then I'll forward it to myself and go look at it, and it's like, it doesn't look any better. I know there's a way to do it. I just am not aware.
Yeah. Well, this would, I think this would help out. So you just need to look at the back part of it and, you know, make sure it's something you can understand. It shouldn't be too much of a big deal for you. But you log in, you look at the menu, you go to the right selection and, you know, and fill in the form and send a test, and that's it. That's all I was doing. So,
all right. I think that's fantastic. Our newsletter is kind of a joke, but it's, at least it keeps the name in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, then let me, I'll send this out to you, and if, you know, if you have any questions or anything, problems with it, then let me know, and we'll go from there. So, anything else, I'll send you that information then.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I guess that's it. No problem. And if it needs to be
improvement, you know.
Well, I don't know if you could, if you're sending them all in HTML, you know, graphic wise, then this will be okay for you. I mean, this will do it for you. If you want a text version of it, you'd have to separate, you know, who can get text only and who can get, you know, the other type. It'll also send a text version, but you have to type it in separate. So
I think everybody's pretty much set up for HTML now.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah.
I hope.
Just a few diehards. Yeah, I would hope so. Otherwise, they're seeing some funny stuff. But I'll get some instructions typed out in an email with the login and everything, and then let you play with that end of it. So see what you think.
Great.
And
thank you.
Cool. Well, not a problem. and I guess we'll. I'm still on Blog Talk Radio. I guess that's how we're talking. Okay. All right. Well, you have a good one, and I'll get that email off to you this evening, tonight, sometime, and so you can start with that and see how it works for you.
All
Hopefully
right.
Hopefully it'll work out. All right. Thanks a lot. Take it easy. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.